Satan cannot make you sin. We're going to talk about how that works in a minute. But you do a good enough job of that all by yourself. You know, you don't need Satan's help. All you need to sin is wrapped up in your heart. Okay? And we're going to talk about that some more in a second. But first off, what is sin's goal? What is sin's goal? Sometimes we have a me-centered view of sin. We say, you know, sin's goal, the reason that I want to be careful is because sin will just take the happy, joyful life that God has in store for me, and sin will obliterate it. And that is true, but that's not really the main goal. Sin's goal is to distort your God-given purpose. Did you know that God has a purpose for every single human being that He created? Now, I understand as we talk about this that God's purpose in every human being is not salvation, but there's still a purpose that the Lord has determined in creation. Look in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verses 26 and 27, it says, God created man, or male and female, in His image and in His likeness. God created humanity in His image and in His likeness. Now, let me tell you something interesting about that. Back in Moses' day, Moses wrote Genesis. So back in Moses' day, in the ancient Near East, there was a just kind of a way that they did things. And so if one army or if one king who ruled in a particular land, if the king of Egypt decided to come up and take over his neighboring cities or countries, then they would go to war and he would conquer that land. And before he went home, he would make sure that there was a statue that was erected there. And that statue would be made in his likeness and in his image, so that anyone who walked by and saw that statue would realize this man is the authority in this land. Right? Maybe it used to be somebody else, but this image, this likeness of the king, is a reminder that no matter what things used to be like, it's his value system that's ruling here. He's the authority. Matter of fact, you could go back and look at and read some ancient historical text, and they will have pictures of these statues that were built and that were erected, and they use very similar language to what's used there in Genesis as far as the likeness, the image, and the representation of what's there. And so God says man was made in His image, in His likeness. Let me tie one more passage to this before I give you a brief definition. Look in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. You'll be familiar with this. Verse 16. Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So you have people who are created in the image of God, and then you have Christ on the Sermon on the Mount saying that we are to let our lights shine before men, what? So that people may see our good works and say, "Man, you're committed. Man, you must have a happy life." Well, they may say that, but ultimately so that people may see your good works and glorify who? You can say it. Yeah, yeah. People, your purpose on earth as being created in the image of God is that people would see your good works, now everybody together, and that they would glorify who? God. You know what that means in very simple terms? Your purpose on earth is to make a name for God. And you say, you know what? God can make a name for Himself. He doesn't need me. No, He doesn't need you, but He's decided to use you. My dog wasn't created in God's image. That tree out there is not created in God's image. You're created in God's image. And God has a purpose for that. Now, if we were to take it just a little step further, this is really your purpose. Your purpose is to be a visible representation of the invisible God's value system. A visible representation of the invisible God's value system. How are you going to do that? Faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. There is a sense in which people will see your life and that they will see that there is a stark difference in your life. And we've heard already, there's people that may inquire and say, what is it that makes this individual different? And what makes the Christian different from anyone else is that the Christian whose heart is tuned to the heart of God realizes that my purpose is to make a name for God. My purpose is to be a visible representation. You can see me, a visible representation of the invisible God's value system. So the question is, how is that purpose distorted? How is it that that purpose is distorted? Well, we can briefly take a look how it quickly gets distorted in the book of Genesis. You remember in Genesis 11:4, that's the story of the Tower of Babel. You can turn there if you like. You don't have to. Story of the Tower of Babel. These men get together. They decide that they're going to make this tower that rises all the way up to heaven. And you remember what they say in verse 4. Maybe you don't remember this, but it'll be familiar, I'm sure. Let us build a city and a tower whose top will go up to heaven, and let us make a name. You know what they're saying? The King James didn't say it this way, but this is what they're saying. Let us make a name for ourselves. Let us be a visible representation of our own value system. Let us do what we want to do so that all who come will come and glory in the work of our hands, in our intellect, in our gifts. And so simply put, your purpose is distorted when you decide that you're going to live your life to make a name for yourself. Okay? That comes out in all kinds of ways. Lord, I don't care what you say. I'm not interested in the Word. I don't really believe what you say about sin. I don't believe what you say about me in relation to sin. But you want to know what happens? Babel's a good illustration of this. You want to know what happened to them, and that also happens to anyone else who decides that they're going to live their life in order to make a name for themselves? Well, God gives them a name. He gives them a name. The Lord ends up naming what they're doing there, and the name that He gives them is Babel. Babel. Anybody know what that means? Anybody know what the word Babel means? It's okay if you do. It means confusion. Okay. The name that God gave there was confusion. Now, let me try to tie that into what Isaac was talking about. I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. What is that if it's not anything else? Confusion. How about this? Y'all see me? I'm a midget that was born in India. Is it true? It's funny, but what if I believe it? Babel. How do I arrive to such a bizarre conclusion? Let me make a name for myself. Let me make a name for myself. Let me represent to the world my value system. And by the way, Isaac mentioned it last night. Don't miss the fact that whenever you decide that you're going to represent to the world your value system, you're going to be determined that they adopt that for themselves. Right? God says, I've created you in my image, in my likeness. You're to be a light to the world so that men would see your good works and glorify me. And you say, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm going to represent my value system, my intellect, so that men would see what I do and what I've built and my value, and they would adopt that for themselves. They would glorify me. They would say, make this man our king. Make this woman our king. This is what we need right here. And so, brothers and sisters, long before you get to the point to where you're thinking about sin making you or robbing you of happiness, you need to understand that the most offensive part about sin is that it distorts God's purpose for you. He created you for a purpose, and you turn around and say, no thanks, God. I'm good. I've got a better purpose. Okay. That's sin's goal.